Welcome back to another episode of Talkin' Moto. Ooh, off to a good start. That's right, we are back and we are talking about Red Bud, Michigan. And, of course, we had the big, big news of none other than the reigning champion. Yeah, there we go. Undefeated in his rookie year, Jet Lawrence, crashing and getting hurt on the Tuesday before Red Bud, tearing his UCL and his thumb on his, what was it, his left hand. So now he's out for the season, and the championship now going into Red Bud and still leaving Red Bud really is between his brother, Hunter Lawrence, and Chase Sexton. So it's going to be real interesting to see how Sexton will do with most likely newfound confidence. Hunter Lawrence with maybe he's got some more confidence now that his brother's out. I'm sure he didn't want his brother to be out of the series. But he is. So we're going to have a new champion. Not going to go back to back like I thought we were. So I think it's pretty much official now that my two championship picks are both going to be wrong. Because I picked Tom Viel, who is, I don't have the points up at the time. I think he's 43 down. And then in the 450s, I picked Jet Lawrence, who is now, I think, officially 50 down. So, yeah, bad look for Talkin' Moto in all of my championship predictions. With Supercross, I went 0 for 3. Pro Motocross now here, I think I'm going to go 0 for 2. So, yeah, not a very good look for me at all. So, yeah, going to be interesting to see how this season kind of unfolds now that the big heavy-hitting favorite coming into this season, for sure, Jet Lawrence is out. Now the big look is for Bud's Creek, where it's rumored we will have Cooper Webb and Eli Tomac coming back into the picture here. And I was doing some Googling there. Meant to type in Pro Motocross, but I said Cooper Webb at the same time and typed a C instead of a P. So that's not very good by me. Didn't need to say that, but I said it. So, yeah, looking for Bud's Creek here. That is on my birthday, August 17th. I thought it was coming up a lot sooner. Also, I did see, now that I'm looking at the schedule, might as well talk about this real quick. I saw Colt Nichols on the Twisted Tea Suzuki team riding today or yesterday. Can't remember which one it was. But I saw that on Twitter that he was riding the Twisted Tea bike. I think it was Steve Mathis posted it, who... Yes, 7 hours ago he posted it on, why does that say it was on the, oh, way to use your brain, good job. Yeah, Wednesday the 10th he posted that, screenshot of Colt Nichols' Instagram story of the, well, is the Pipes Motorsports Suzuki, looks a lot like the, Ken Roczen's progressive bike on the Twisted Tea stand. So, also, who knows, may have Ken Roczen coming into the fold coming up lately, but not lately, soon, with him riding, getting ready. Obviously, he's got his World Supercross kind of kid series that's going on with I think it's like three rounds. I might cover that a little bit. We'll see. Who even knows if I'll cover that? But, yeah, I think it's time to start looking into qualifying. Actually, we'll talk a little bit about, because I was there at the race. We'll talk a little bit about my experience. If I can type here. There we go. I figured it out. Don't you worry. I want to get these super motocross points pulled up, because I think we're going to start talking about that here at the end of the show, as well as the, holy smokes, it has everybody, the top 40. Wasn't expecting that. Okay, so, anyway, a little bit of my experience at Red Bud this past weekend. It was a blast. Can't say anything besides that. Always one of the best weekends of the year when me, my dad, my brother get a chance to go out to Red Bud, 4th of July weekend. We ride our bikes 4th of July. Then we go watch the pros do their thing all day Saturday. All day Friday, we get to watch the amateurs ride the big track, and then Red Bud's known for their big camping and party experience, party vibe type of deal. So they got this smaller supercross size type of track, the night track. Have it lit up going from 7 p.m. to, gosh, I don't even know, at least past midnight, because that's usually when we turn in for the night. So they got that all night. Big old fireworks show, which surprisingly ends with a giant fireball every time. Last year we thought it was a mistake. This year they did it 2 times again. So either they keep making the same mistake or it's planned. Also, I think the guy that did the fireworks was like Four Finger Joe or something they called him. Pretty good name for a guy who runs a firework company. Just kind of wondering how he got that name. I'm going to take a shot in the dark and say that old Joe might have blown a fingy off with a firework. So, shout out Four Finger Joe or Four Finger Frank, whatever the heck it was. And, yeah, someone put a giant, I think they're called mortar fireworks, the ones that you see at shows that go shooting way up into the sky and then blow up way up there. Yeah, someone put one into like a 55-gallon metal drum that the trash can is, shot up about 4 feet out of the drum, exploded right there. We were probably like 60 feet away. That was fun. I might have pooped my pants a little bit when that went off. Did not expect it. But, yeah, we had clean underwear for the next day. It's totally fine. So yeah, I think that is about the weekend besides the actual racing. Oh, I got to experience the pits for the first time. My brother hooked us all up with some pit passes out of nowhere, a little gift to us. And I tried to apply for a press pass, got denied, probably because honestly there's maybe nobody out there listening to this. I might just be talking to a microphone once a week to myself and my dad when he gets bored at work or something. But where are we? Oh yeah, back to the pits and press pass denied. Got to take my Motocross of Nations program. I was trying to get it signed by all three Team USA guys who won it back in 2022. Almost there. Almost got it. Just missing Eli Tomac now. Got Chase Sexton to sign it. Got Justin Cooper to sign it. Justin Cooper even signed it in his Motocross of Nations number 102. So Chase Sexton signed it number 4, which Can't complain. 2/3 of the way there. Can't wait to hopefully get Eli to sign it, complete the whole thing, get it framed or something, put up on my wall. Eventually, I'd like to get this to YouTube. I'm trying to work on getting cool Racer X magazine covers for a background. I got an Eli Tomac Motocross Nations replica little, New Ray bike. Got that. I can put that in the background. So now we're just kind of thinking out loud here for this part of the podcast, but I think that's good. That's kind of maybe the kind of the plans for where I see this podcast going. Hopefully it takes off, obviously. And Sexton, awesome, cool, absolute freaking tank in real life, in person, I should say, not in real life, because everything we see of him is real life, but in person, dude's a beast. That's all I can say. Kind of, maybe, some would say I screwed him over. He was running, it was after qualifying one, went back into the pits. He was being awesome, signing everything for the fans that were under the tent. There was a group of us that were just outside the tent. I just wanted to get the one signature real quick, say thanks for the best day of my life, winning that Nations, and boogie on out. But he was running out, asked him real quick. He was walking away if he could sign my Nations program. Stopped, kind of looked. I think he maybe thought about it for a second, but then he came over, signed it, and then feel bad he was stuck there for probably about 10 more minutes, signing autographs, taking pictures, being awesome with the fans, talking to all the little kids, asking them. Kids were telling them things. Chase was asking questions back, being real cool with all the fans. And then I caught Justin Cooper when he was walking out of the under the awning outside the semi area, walking out to watch 250 qualifying. Was able to catch him real quick around nobody else, so he didn't get stuck there. And also good guy there, stopped real quick for me, and told him, gained some pretty big fans that day, and he said thank you. So look at that. I think maybe we made his day. He didn't make our day. That's a lie. Yeah, he made our day, especially that Motocross Nations day. And then he played a big part into why that Saturday at Redbud was a good day for me. So I think we'll start getting into the qualifying here. Starting off with the 250s, of course. We had America's birthday weekend. What better way? We got a Frenchman who was the fastest qualifier. Tom Vial, fastest qualifier with a 209.229. Followed up really closely by a bunch of Americans. Three Americans here. With Chance Hymus in second with a 209.295. So 0.66 seconds behind Tom Vial. And then Ty Masterpool was that 10th, 100th? Ty Masterpool was 1/1000th away from Chance Hymus with a 209.296. And then Deegan in 4th there with a 209.7. And Joe Shimoda wrapping out the top 5 in qualifying with a 210.668. So another guy I was looking forward to seeing maybe he would get back on the horse a little bit was Levi Kitchen. Dude's hair, he won with the hair, blonde hair, blue stars in there, blue and red stars in there. He won it, the hairdo game, but the only thing he's won in a while is the hairdo game, because he qualified 7th with a 211.220. And who else here? Max Anstey, kind of sort of starting to come around maybe. Qualified ninth with a 211.929. Casey Cochran was really solid all day. Probably the best outdoor of his career. He starting it off early in qualifying. Qualified eighth with a 211.431. And I was there last year when he was in the Moto Combine and went out there and just absolutely dusted everybody in the Combine. He left no questions on who was the fastest guy in the motocross combine, amateur combine, whatever they want to call it. And then, I think maybe he had a little bit of that confidence coming into this weekend. Definitely started with it. And I think he ended with it too. Casey Cochran was good all day long. Now heading over to the 450s here. Gotta say it, America's birthday weekend. Boom, we got an American on top in qualifying. Chase Sexton, his home race, the Lamoille, Illinois. I think I pronounced that city right. But they're saying it's about 2 hours away from Redbud. Obviously, being that close, we all know he raced there a lot growing up. And as an amateur, going into this weekend, never won anything there. He says he's never had a moto win. Now, to be honest, I'm not sure if he was talking just 450 or if he was talking in general. But obviously, we know what happened in the motos. We'll get into that in a little bit. But Chase Sexton qualifying fastest by 1.3 seconds faster than second place with a 204.902. And in second was my other guy here, Justin Cooper. So they saw me. They saw that Nations program. They remembered what happened that day. I think they went out there with a little more juice in qualifying. Them two qualifying one and two. So Justin Cooper had a 206.206, followed up by your points leader in third place, Hunter Lawrence, with a 206.252. So just barely getting edged out here by Justin Cooper. And then someone here I want to talk about, Kyle Webster, the Australian. He's in the Australian Motocross. He's leading their series over there. I think it's called the MX1 series. I'm pretty sure that's what Hunter Lawrence said in the press conference. It's the MX1 series. He's leading it over there. Comes over here. Qualifies great. Qualifies seventh with a 208. So obviously, he's 4 seconds off of Chase Sexton. But, I mean, qualifying seventh and being 4 seconds off, there's not much you can do about that. So, you take Chase Sexton out of this qualifying, everybody is really close from 1 through 6, 7. But then you throw Sexton back in there, and then obviously there's that big gap from first to second. Also, I think Dylan Ferrandis maybe starting to come around a little bit. Obviously, he had a tough first moto, but he had a good qualifying eighth with a 209.598. And I guess we'll talk about what happened to him a little bit more in the first moto when we get there, because I saw, obviously, I can't see everything there when I'm there, but I can see kind of stuff maybe that's not quite on TV. I have no clue if that made sense. I can see some things the TV cameras aren't showing. That's what I was trying to say. Not sure why I couldn't say it to begin with, but that is what I was trying to say. So, yeah. I think that'll wrap us up for qualifying. We had Cowboy qualifying fourth with a 207.964. So, yeah, I think we will get to the motos here now. Of course, like always, we will be starting off with the 250 moto number uno. That's one for all of us English speakers, which we're going to keep because this is still part of celebrating America on this episode, because this is going to be a little 4th of July. Happy 4th of July. Hope everyone had a good one. Now, let's get into 250 moto number one here. So, starting us off, we had the, I think, probably the resurgence of, the resurgence of Tom Vielle's good starts, because what I've been noticing a lot lately is he has not been getting the good starts here in outdoors, but he got a good jump, but Masterpool was able to get the whole shot from him, and yeah, he said he didn't even know. Masterpool didn't know, because a couple years ago, Masterpool pulled the whole shot and Redbud kind of fist pumped or pointed to the air or something like that. They asked him about it in the interview or the press conference. He said he didn't even know. He should have done another little fist pump or whatever, but Vial was able to get by him going into turn number two. Same with Hymus. Vial just straight up beat him to the corner, had the inside edge. Masterpool had to check up, try to cut back underneath him. But when he tried to cut back underneath him, old Chance Hymus said, "Hello, I'm sitting here," and went by him on the inside there to take over second in the early, very early parts of the race. So then we had Vial and Hymus battling early here, and Hymus had this line coming down. They call it the orchard there, which is when you come down the big ski jump, you'll go left and then right through the real dark dirt, black dirt country, and then you'll go the triple step up, Thor's hammer, I think they were calling it on TV, Thor sponsored jersey, or not jersey, jump, and then you make that big old left, and Hymus was jumping all the way down the hill, basically, avoiding all the bumps, and that's how he was able to get inside on Vial before turning and going back up the hill. And so then Hymus really just started looking pretty comfortable. He was the first to jump the leap. I can't recall if it was the first lap or not, but I do know he was the first to jump the big, I think, 120, 130 foot step or triple uphill, Larocco's leap, but he was the first to jump it. And then a little bit later, Vial coming down the hill right before the tabletop, before the big Talladega style turn, just kind of looks like makes a slight little mistake, maybe hit neutral or something, because the way he was leaning, he's kind of leaning forward and aggressive, and it just kind of seemed like the bike just stopped on him, really stopped powering forward, and then he got his head stuck under his front fender. Had to wiggle that sucker out. It was his visor was stuck up under the fender. So obviously he was pinned with the back of his head down. The bike was, the front fender caught his visor, so he had to kind of finagle his noggin out of there, and he lost positions to, Ty Masterpool, and then Hayden Deegan. So, head stuck key, question mark. Okay, I'm looking at my notes, and it was talking about the VL crash there, head stuck he, question mark. Oh, I think it was the, he was expecting, yeah, he was expecting the bike to make a different, or have a different reaction than it actually did. And, yeah, Hymus was out there clicking off laps while all this was going down. He made it look like it was his home race, even though he's from Idaho, no, Utaho. Not a clue what his closest national would be to old Idaho. It's got to be Washougal. Yeah, Washougal. Unless he's like, I don't know. It's definitely not Red Bud, though. But he was making it look like a home race the way he was riding. Looked like he was riding with a lot of confidence, obviously getting his first moto win in Thunder Valley, probably about, what, like a month ago now. He was looking very comfortable. Yeah, almost exactly a month ago. June 8th was Thunder Valley. July 6th was a Red Bud. So yeah, all that's happening. And really all we're seeing is Hayden Deegan. So, yeah, what are my thoughts on the Deegan show? I get it. He's the points leader. I get it. He's really fast. He's a good dirt bike rider, racer, motocross, supercross. Obviously, I believe he'll get to the championship level in Supercross most likely next year. Spoiler, he's probably going to be my pick to win a Supercross title next year, whatever coast he's on. He won the Super Motocross Championship. But holy smokes. We got Chance Hymus out there leading the race, making it look easy. And we were kind of stuck on Hayden Deegan on the television. Now, obviously, me being there, I see different things. And I come home, I rewatch the races because, one, I would just like to see if there's anything that I missed while watching in person, because this is an awesome sport and I just love watching it. I watch all the things I can watch on YouTube, pretty much. Did the same thing with the Detroit Supercross that I was at. I was there all day, watch qualifying, watch the races, come home very next day. What do? Turn on Peacock, watch the races again. But, so I consume a lot of dirt bike material, I would call it. And I don't think anybody in the sport has gotten more screen time than Hayden Deegan has this outdoor season. I mean, yeah, he's leading the points by, what is this here, 42 points. I understand. Like I said, the kid's good. The kid's fast. I hope he's on the Motocross Nations team, which I'll touch on at the end of this show, because we got some news there. But, holy smokes, we can watch some other guys race. I mean, Tom Vail was having a good race. Obviously, he goes down. That's when the Deegan show really kind of took over. Joe Shimoda was in a, he said he was in a first turn pileup, going all over the place. He's coming on strong at this point in the season. Maybe we can see a little bit more of him. Chance Hymus leading the race. I mentioned that already. Maybe we can see some more of him. I don't know. It's just kind of irritating. I get it. It's not Weege's fault. It's not Ricky's fault when he's in the booth. It's not James's fault when he's in the booth. Because they just got to call what's in front of them. It's the producers, the directors, all that whatnot. But it could be Jason Thomas's fault. I just thought about this. Jason Thomas, they throw to him damn near every time. It's Deegan this, Deegan that. Will Christian, not always there for Pro Motocross. And honestly, I don't remember what she talked about any time I threw it down to her. So, I just kind of blanked out there on what Will Christian talks about. But still. Yeah. We're sick of it, I think we can all say. Deegan fans, we get it, dude. He's good. Like I've been saying, fast, smart, check that, maybe not so smart. He made some mistakes that I got written down here. I got receipts. Receipts is what I got. I shouldn't be getting this fired up about it, but it's kind of irritating me. And once I saw some of the things on old Twitter, or X, almost called it Twitter there, on old X, I've been noticing it a little bit more of the Deegan show. I mean, my dad, lifelong dirt bike racing fan. There's a couple weeks ago, he said he just fast-forwarded through the 250 moto because he didn't want to listen to it all. It sucks. Obviously, he's bringing in a younger generation of fans, which I get. Also, I would kind of say I'm kind of in that generation. I'm 23, almost 24, so I'm kind of in that older part of that generation of fans probably that he's bringing in. But I'd like to think of myself not in that generation because I've been a fan for so long. I mean, my first favorite rider was Ricky Carmichael. I got a t-shirt made into a pillow of Ricky Carmichael. And anyway, all that doesn't matter. But what does matter is Deegan doesn't need to be on the daggum TV all the time. So, yeah, we'll move past there. That's our little, honestly, I hope it doesn't become a weekly Deegan show rant, but it might. I had one a couple weeks ago. It might. So, back to the regularly scheduled programming here. There's 10 minutes left. Okay. Resetting. 10 minutes left in this 250 Moto 1. There's a Red Cross flag. Chance Hymus still doubles. Joe Shimoda, Hayden Deegan, right behind him. Roll everything. And then going up the big, the Thor's hammer jump that I referenced earlier. Joe Shimoda kind of, or not Joe Shimoda. Ty Masterpool. Honestly, I might have said Joe Shimoda earlier. I don't remember. I hope not. But Ty Masterpool just kind of throws his hand up and kind of like, what the heck just happened? You're supposed to roll that, because Chance did pull a little bit of a gap because of that, because he didn't roll it. And in the post-race press conference, Chance Hymus, this is, did say he could see the flag on the corner of his eye. It threw him off because it wasn't at the lip of the jump, which I mean, I'm not in rider meetings. I don't really, I can't say that. I don't read the rule book because I don't read. I watch YouTube videos and listen to podcasts. So I'm not sure why it not being on the lip of the jump has to do with, oh, I don't have to roll it, but that's what he used as his reasoning, and the AMA didn't go with it. So, yeah, they penalized him 2 positions in points, but not in standings, and that really threw us for a loop when we were there watching the race, because, yeah, we were really confused. It's hard to hear, obviously, because it's so loud there. Even when there's no races going on, people are still going crazy. And what else happened with that? Oh, he got docked. I think it was, what did I say? 5 championship points and 2 positions in purse money after the race. Or overall. So, yeah, that happened. But Ty Masterpool was able to make up the ground. And right before the finish line, he was able to go inside and get past Chance Hymus. And then I think it was about a lap later, Deegan went outside into the rollers past Hymus. I know there's a little hump on the inside of that turn, that right-hand turn right before the rollers. Deegan went outside, was able to just carry more momentum through the rollers and get past Chance Hymus. And kind of started to unravel. It was a home race no longer for old Chance. And right where Vial went down early in the race, he went inside on Hymus there to take over third. And then it was just a race to the finish with Masterpool and Hayden, with Ty was able to hold him off just barely. Just barely was Ty Masterpool able to hold off Hayden Deegan. Let me get to this here. It was 0.3 seconds difference between Ty and Hayden at the finish. So it went Ty Masterpool wins Moto 1, Deegan second, Vial third, and then Hymus kind of unraveling there at like the 7-8 minute mark of this moto, with Joe Shimoda rounding out the top 5. And then, like I was saying earlier, Casey Cochran, good all day. Finishes 7th place in Moto 1, which, oh, I thought that matched his qualifying, but it did not. So, never mind. See, I think that'll probably about wraps us up here for the 250 Moto number 1. So now getting into 450 Moto number 1, we had Hunter Lawrence once again. He's been probably the king of starters. They were saying going into this weekend he had an average first lap finish of, I think it was 2.6. So obviously he's really good on the starts, has been all season long, grabs the whole shot. Sexton once again with another bad jump. I honestly can't remember the last time Sexton got a whole shot. He's been getting, I feel like he's been getting bad jumps every week, and then he'll get on the podium, say he's got to go work on his starts. I've seen videos, he's working on his starts, but they're just not, I don't know what it is. He's just not getting the quality starts that he needs. But his teammate, on the other hand, Aaron Plessinger, a very good start here in 450 Moto number one, right behind Hunter. And it's where they kind of settled in. Hunter in the lead, AP in second, and then Sexton in third for most of the race, or well, not most of the race, for the beginning portion of the race. And Hunter was looking pretty comfortable. He had a couple sketchy moments on the little foreshadowing on the downhills of some of them big hills, big rough bumpy hills. He had a couple sketchy moments, but seemed like he was able to control it really good, at least. And it was all the way until 10 minutes to go. It was still Hunter, Plessinger, Sexton. And I got here, Sexton was P3, and he was just 2.6 seconds back. So obviously, they were all very close. Justin Cooper was right in there as well in fourth. He was really close as well. And Sexton was finally able to make the move on Plessinger right before the finish. He was able to kind of go a little inside, outside, going into the rollers. He's on the inside. And then through the rollers, kind of moved over outside of the next turn. And that set him up perfectly to go inside before the finish. And that's where he was able to get the move done on Plessinger. He's able to jump the little inside hump, kind of sweeping in front of Plessinger, really making that pass stick. And then it was Sexton just looking for Hunter, trying to hunt Hunter down. And Sexton was looking real fast through the rollers that I just mentioned. Friday and press day, he looked really good through there as well. He was looking good through there in Moto 1 as well. And so, earlier I said 10 minutes left. I meant 10 minutes in. But, because the halfway mark, Hunta and Sexton were kind of doing this little yo-yo dance, where Sexton would gain on him, Lawrence would pull away, Sexton would gain, Lawrence would pull away, and then Hunter kind of got a little sketchy going up the face of the Loracos Leap, couldn't jump it, but Justin Cooper was able to jump it. Not Justin Cooper, I was looking at the next thing. Chase Sexton was able to jump it, and that gained him some time, and then lost the time, and then, like I was saying, yo-yo back and forth. And so now getting on to the Justin Cooper note here that I got. He was going inside, going up to Loracos Leap on Plessinger. Justin Cooper was able to jump it. Plessinger was not. That put Justin Cooper in third, where he stayed for the rest of the race, and that's where he finished in Moto number one. The lappers were getting real bad around probably about 10 minutes to go. Sexton jumping back onto the start straight, ran into one that was down, lost a lot of time, so they were thick. Lappers were thick this weekend. Hard to get by. Just about every rider said they were difficult this weekend. Sexton even lost his visor in Moto number one because of lappers and Hunter just getting on the back tire of Hunter. putting his head down to block some roost, getting hit in the visor, doing the same thing when he gets the lappers. He's got to put his head down a little bit, try and get by him to not get his goggles filled up with dirt, not having to pull a tear off for a lapper. But then, like I said, Hunter was having some sketchy moments going downhill on some of them downhills, and one of them downhills caught him, and it caught him good. So he's going downhill, back end kind of steps out a little bit. He tries to hold on to it and save it. Right hand blows off. Chest hits the handlebars, and then he's just along for the ride. He hits the ground real hard on his left shoulder, hits his head on the ground, upside down. That's how Sexton was able to get by him with, two laps to go. Yeah, two laps to go. Left hand slips off, and then Hunter's just holding on for dear life at that point, really. So yeah, Sexton was able to get by him, take moto number one, first moto win in Red Bud for the hometown guy, Chase Sexton. Hunter Lawrence was able to get up quickly and get second, and then Justin Cooper third, Plessinger fourth, and rounding out the top five was El Hombre, Jason Anderson. I said we're going to stick to English. I just went Spanish again, and I'm going to be completely honest. I have not a clue what El Hombre means, so we are going to look it up. So, what was I going to say? Yeah, Jason Anderson looking real good for moto number one, the man, Jason Anderson. That's what El Hombre means. So there's our Spanish, our two Spanish lessons for the day. We got Uno means one, and El Hombre means the man. So, yeah, honestly, 250 moto number one, a little bit more entertaining than 450 moto number one with the race down to the finish in the 250s, and then Hunter was in control for a lot of the 450 moto number one. He even said it himself, it was all good until I was upside down. So it was good till it wasn't. Luckily, he said, feels about as good as you can be after taking a good old digger like that was. So of course, that is good to hear. So now we'll move over to 250 moto number two, where we had none other than your moto number one winner pulling the whole shot, Chance Hymus. That's right. He said he had some anger after moto number one. Said he was just going to take it out on moto number two. And that's exactly what he did off the start. And pretty much the entire race as well. Went out there, got the good start. Ryder D, best start I've seen from him possibly ever. Came out of the first turn in second. So that's good to see. I remember in Supercross, towards the end of Supercross, he got passed three laps in a row in the exact same spot doing the exact same thing. So we're evolving here. Ryder D, after a 13 in Moto 1, comes out Moto number 2 and gets a really good start, puts himself in a good position. Who didn't put themselves in a good position? Tom Viel. His prowess as a good starter kind of going out the window, in my opinion, because he just has not been getting those good starts. He's been getting decent starts. He's been getting top 10 starts for sure. Easily, yes. But Tom Vail, a guy his caliber, I would expect to see him pulling whole shots, if not whole shots, coming out of turn one, two, or three. But consistently, he's been coming out five through nine, five through 10, pretty much. And Deegan, not a good start either, but oh well. Levi Kitchen, also pretty good start here. Trying to make, I don't know if that was heard or not. I hope it wasn't. I'm going to check real quick. Okay, back to recording. It was heard. Farts are funny, so I'm keeping that in. Where was I? Levi Kitchen. Trying to maybe resurrect his season a little bit here. I'm not going to lie, it might be a little hard for me to focus. For a couple minutes here, recovering from that. But, Levi Kitchen, good start. Deegan Vail, bad starts. Okay, focus here. So Master Poo. This is a disaster now. Master Pool was all over Levi Kitchen. He was eventually able to make the move. Levi Kitchen did not make it easy whatsoever for his teammate. Okay. Focus here. Vial and Deegan were kind of coming through the pack together when Deegan made a mistake, kind of losing the front end a little bit, coming back onto the starting straight. Lost my thought of words here. I've lost a lot of things here in the last couple minutes. So that was mistake number one for Deegan. Now, remember I said he was a smart rider when I was talking about moto number one. This is kind of what I was talking about. Maybe not so much. Loses the front end a little bit. I know mistakes happen while riding a dirt bike. Mistakes happen while recording a podcast. You could fart and it could be funny. Anyway, so that was first mistake I noticed from Deegan was losing the grip on the front end a little bit and then still trying to hammer through with the throttle, sliding out a little bit. Loses some time there. Well, gives Tom Vial a little bit of breathing room behind him. Obviously still focused in front of him where he had to try and catch... who was it? Jalik Swole. Ryder D was in front of him. Master Pool... Shimoda, all of them were in front of him. Vial was able to eventually get past Swole. Deegan then stalls it. Mistake number two I noticed for Hayden Deegan in this race that I didn't notice while watching it live because the little losing the grip on the front end that was on the other side of the track where we couldn't see it. And then where he stalled it, I was kind of down in a little valley where we were blocked. Our vision was blocked, and we couldn't see that either. So Hymus continued jumping all the way down that one big bumpy downhill out of the orchard, as we called it, as they call it, as I called it earlier in the race. But... as soon as they pointed it out on the broadcast, he stopped doing it. So that's kind of funny. Also seemed like he was able to keep his six second lead for a while there until Joe Shimoda just started. It's Shark Week. Joe Shimoda just started taking chunks out of that lead like a shark would do. I'm sure in a shark attack. So yeah, Shimoda started taking chunks out of the gap. So that was happening. Vial was chasing down Master Pool. And then I'm sure we've all seen the big crash that the Lapper had on the tabletop, where he goes front end, leans down in the air. He goes through the bar, tries to jump through the bars, and then just a real big crash on the tabletop there. Master Pool and Vial were just barely able to miss it. Hayden Deegan, not so lucky. So I can't count that as mistake number three, because he had no clue that that Lapper was down at on the backside of that jump. So Deegan lands, tries to kind of looked like he tried to like pop a wheelie over the bike, but goes right over the bike. He goes over the handlebars, loses the visor. But he was able to get up very quickly and get back on his bike. This is Deegan, of course, because sucks to say, but the lap rider, I guess, broke his leg. So he will be out for a bit. And as I'm talking lappers here, lappers are also bad in this 250 moto number two. Like they were in the 450 moto number one. They weren't as bad in 250 moto number one, but they were getting bad here again in moto number two for the 250 guys. And then towards the end of the race, Joe Shimoda really started coming, charging, closed up the gap big time between him and Chance Hymus. And after the race, Hymus said it was just like at the practice crash when the two Lawrence, or practice track, when the two Lawrence brothers are breathing down his neck, catching him on the track there. Said it felt a lot like that. So I guess he's got some familiarity in that situation. So he was able to hold off Joe Shimoda. So Chance Hymus goes 4-1 for his first career overall win. So really cool. He had no clue it happened until he got back to behind the podium, parked his bike, and whatever. That's when they told him he won. So it was real cool. I can say I got to see Chance Hymus's first career overall at Red Bud. And then Ty Masterpool rides it in for second overall with a 1-5. And then Joe Shimoda with a 5-2. So really crazy scores. The most consistent rider was Tom Vial with a 3-4. And he ended up fourth overall. So just shows that maybe Tom Vail's got to figure out these starts a little bit here coming up soon. And he's got to figure them out. Probably about a couple weeks ago, he needed to figure these out. So, obviously, I'm sure it's not a lack of trying, of course, and testing and whatnot. But, yeah, I mentioned Casey Cochran. I've mentioned him in all three little segments here for the 250s. Well, this is now going to be the third that I mentioned him. Yeah, good day for him. 7-9 for a 7 overall. So, real good for Casey Cochran. I think he probably had some of that confidence from how he rode last year at the Moto Combine at Red Bud. So, now let's take a little peeksies here at the 250 points. Top 10? Yeah, top 10. Deegan still in first, of course. Chance Hymus, not much happens with the points because he did lose, I think it was 5 championship points due to his little jumping on a Red Cross flag, lost 5 championship points due to that, so he's still back 42. Tom Viel was able to close some ground. Now he's only back 43. So second and third separated by 1 point. And then in fourth place here, it goes down to Joe Shimoda and Levi Kitchen, both tied 63 back. So really shows the two completely different seasons that Levi Kitchen and Joe Shimoda have had. Levi obviously started off really hot, really good. Joe Shimoda started off not so hot, not so good, and they've just flipped and completely matched in points. So Joe Shimoda coming on hot now. Who knows? He might go out there and win in Millville. I might even pick him. Yeah, screw it. We're going to do it. Give me Joe Shimoda to win the 250s this next weekend. But now looking at the SMX points, which is crazy to look at, especially with Tom Viel not doing so hot here in outdoors. Your one Supercross champion, and then your other Supercross champion, RJ Hampshire, broken wrist, right before the Paula Fox Raceway, whatever the heck you want to call it, season opener happens. In 11th in that, and now looking at this, in 13th already is Ty Masterpool, who didn't even race a single round of Supercross and rode the bike before outdoors one time. But Deegan's in first. He is up 36 points on Levi Kitchen, who is in second in the Super Motocross points. And then Tom Viel, Joe Shimoda, Chance Hymus round out your top 5 for the Super Motocross points. And obviously, the way they get seeded, they start with a point advantage, which is, I'm not sure how I feel about that, to be honest, but we'll talk about that when we get there. Maybe I'll go on another little rant. And then, obviously, the points, single, double, triple for the 3 rounds. So now, let's take a look at 450 Moto number 2 here now. So starting us out here, we had Jason Anderson actually goes out there and grabs the hole shot. And Hunter Lawrence, everybody knows. Well, maybe not everybody knows. So a lot of the guys use a scoop-style tire, kind of more of a paddle-type tire for the starts because they're so important. And then kind of sacrifice a little bit maybe on the rest of the track, but kind of just deal with it because they know track position is so important off the starts. Hunter Lawrence did not use the scoop style tire like he did in Moto number 1, went to more a traditional knobby because they saw Justin Cooper use the knobby in Moto number 1 and get a pretty good start. So they figured, hey, we can do that. And then we can excel a little bit, maybe a little bit more than everybody else on the rest of the track. But that's not how it went. As Hunter Lawrence came around in 7th after lap 1. And I know I just said he was like 2.6, I think. 2.5, 2.6. Average first lap finish. But Sexton also, another bad jump. So it's going to be interesting to see how he goes about fixing that. Obviously he was able to fix it pretty good Sexton, bad start, like always. Next subject, I guess. Webster also took the lead for a second. Anderson was able to get it back, though, and Sexton was able to get past him as well. And then Sexton was able to get to the lead by right before the tabletop where the lapper crashed. Sexton kind of went outside to inside right before the table. Take over first position from Jason Anderson. And then, to put it easily, or the best way I can put it, I guess I should say, is Sexton at that point just said, screw it, screw you guys in the 450 class. He just went out there and, easiest way to put it, he went out there and just whooped everybody's arse. He just destroyed everybody. From the moment he got into the lead, he said, goodbye. This is my home race. I'm not going to let anybody try and take this 1-1 finish away from me, take over the points lead. He said, I'm not letting that happen. I'm going 1-1. Nobody can stop me. And, nobody stopped him. That's what he did. And then, that was really about all the exciting stuff that happened besides Justin Cooper. Got a really good start. Went down on the first lap, so he was coming up through the pack. With about 5 minutes left, he hit a good charge. Went from 9th to 7th. And then he caught up to Malcolm Stewart, who I guess it took, he was off for 10 years from the Pro Motocross series. He was off for 10 years, comes back, and then gets passed by Justin Cooper on the last lap of the race. And this race is a short recap because Sexton got the lead, Plessinger got the second, and Sexton was gone. Really, that's really the only way to put it. Sexton was gone. Ferrandis had a good bounce back. Oh my goodness gracious, I totally forgot to talk about what happened to Ferrandis in Moto number 1. So he collided with Phil Nicoletti, got up in last place, and then Ferrandis was in last place for a good 4 laps after that, like right on the back tire of the guy. I don't know if something was wrong with Ferrandis's bike or what, but Ferrandis was in last for a while in that 450 Moto 1. Where did he finish? He finished 19th. Yeah, so obviously really good, but yeah, he was back there for a minute or 5 or 6. But Sexton goes out there, dominates pretty much. Hunter Lawrence said he felt like he had a limiter on. He said he was just struggling with vision and seeing things coming to him. Got me kind of a little nervous thinking hopefully his head's okay. He doesn't have a concussion or anything like that. So really sucked to lose two big heavy hitters in this series. The two brothers 2 weeks in a row. So obviously hoping he's telling the truth, saying he's okay, and he doesn't have anything wrong in that Aussie noggin of his. So now point time. After Chase Sexton's 1-1 finish, he came into Red Bud down by 3 points, leaves Red Bud up 7 on Hunter Lawrence, and then Justin Cooper has now found himself in 3rd place in the points, down 48. Then we got Jet in 4th, down 50. Obviously, he will continue to fall with not racing. And then we got the Cowboy, who went absolutely bananas on the podium. riding Evan the Deer like it's a bull, chugging Red Bull. So Plessinger in fifth, 58 points back. So take a look at the SMX now. Click over to the 450s, and Chase Sexton has already taken the lead in the SMX points. He's now up by 6 on Jet, who Jet will once again continue to fall in this with being, what is that, stationary or whatever? I know the word sidelined. That's just not the word I'm looking for, though. I don't know. Jet's not racing. Jet's not gaining points. So then in third place is Jason Anderson, who's 100 back. Just 7 points behind that would be Hunter Lawrence. And then rounding out your top five is Justin Cooper, 128 points behind Sexton. And what is this? 21 behind Hunter Lawrence. So like I was mentioning, Cooper Webb, Eli Tomac, Ken Roczen, hopefully they can all come back. They are 9, 11, and 12, respectively, in the Super Motocross points. So, yeah, Webb, Tomac, Roczen, sitting like that in Super Motocross points. So now a little look here at Millville, Minnesota, the track the Martin family owns, Jeremy Martin, Alex Martin, the Troll Train Gang. I already came out and said, screw it, give me Joe Shimoda to win the overall for the 250s. If he doesn't win an overall, he's at least winning a moto, isn't he? Right? Come on, he's got to win a moto. 450s, I feel like it's going to be hard to take out Chase Sexton now that he's got this confidence in himself again. Doesn't have to worry about Jet Lawrence anymore. He's just got to worry about the one Lawrence brother. And like I was saying, there's a good size gap between them two and Justin Cooper, who's 48 back. So, I honestly, I think it's going to be, oh man, I'm really bad at these. I want to say Sexton based on just the momentum and everything, but Hunter Lawrence is also just so dang good too. I would go back and look at last year's results, but it's going to be Jet Lawrence winning, Hunter Lawrence obviously in the 250s, so that doesn't do much. I think it's going to be Hunter Lawrence, though. I don't think he takes back the red plate, but I think he makes it a really close race. I could see him going 2-1, Sexton going 1-2. That's how they come out, same points. But Hunter Lawrence, I think, will take the overall win in Millville, Minnesota. So what else we got? Oh, the Nations. So yeah, I guess Team Australia came out, announced their team. I haven't looked into it. I just heard it from the press conference with Hunter Lawrence saying he was named onto the Team Australia team. And so I know it's Webster as well. And I'm just going to take a shot in the dark here and say it's going to be old Jetson Lawrence, who is also going to be on there. And then they asked Plessinger and Sexton. There it is. They asked Plessinger and Sexton what their thoughts are on if they've heard anything, if they do it. They both said, haven't heard anything. Both said they would like to do it. So Sexton is in. I called this last year when he didn't go because of the whole bike switch. I said he'll have another year on the KTM. So I figured he'd probably be going this year. And yes, looking at this, it's for Team Australia, it's Jet Hunter and Kyle Webster. I think Chase Sexton better be on Team USA. Gives us the best chance. Honestly, I think it's going to be Hayden Deegan. If he's willing to do it, I think he should be the 250 guy. I mean, he's head and shoulders above everybody else in the 250 class. And then, who knows, maybe Plessinger after this weekend. Wouldn't be surprised if it's Justin Cooper. He's shown more consistency. He's shown, I don't want to say he didn't fold under the pressure, because I don't want to make it seem like Plessinger did fold under the pressure at the Nations. But Justin Cooper's 1-for-1. Aaron Plessinger is 0-for-2. Love AP. Love the Cowboy, obviously. So who knows? But I think we will definitely see Chase Sexton lining up once again for Team USA at the Motocross Nations. Hopefully bringing it back. And then I've heard rumors of it going to Ironman the following year. So who knows? I might pack the stuff up and head on over to Indiana. But first, we are going to watch some racing in Minnesota this weekend. So like always, talking_moto on X. Give me a follow, share, like, comment, retweet. Subscribe on this Apple Podcasts, RSS.com. All that. So see you guys next week after hopefully another good entertaining racing in Millville, Minnesota. So see ya.